The views expressed on the following show are not necessarily those of the guest, host, or SaratogaBroadcasting.com. Talk of the Town is a production of Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated. And now the host of Talk of the Town, Lynn Goodness and Rick Thompson.
Good afternoon and welcome to Talk of the Town. Lynn Goodness isn't with us today, but I've got two gentlemen here that are just raring to go and talk about the Chip Festival that's in Saratoga. It's the second year of the festival, and I'd like to introduce Greg Dixon, who's the co-chair. Hello, Greg.
Thank you.
You're also a Lion, a member of the Lions Club, correct?
Yeah.
Do you know the alias that goes by Don Hall?
I do know Don. He's a great guy.
He is quite a guy. I'm on the board of the credit union with him.
Okay.
So we, we do pretty good there with him. We want to talk a little bit. This is the second annual Chip Festival. And why don't you talk a little bit about the festival, the companies that are attending? And
sure. Yeah, the first year was interesting for all of us. Alan was involved last year as well. And a group of folks got together from the Lions Club and said, hey, let's celebrate this piece of Saratoga's history and create a festival that did not exist anywhere in the nation that we're aware of as a fundraiser for the Lions Club to support some of the projects that we pursue here in the community to make our Saratoga area community a better place. And so lo and behold, the first Chip Festival was born. And I'd be lying if I didn't say I had a little anxiety the morning of the event last year, wondering who would show up and if anyone would show up. And we had over 4,000 people come through the door for a first year event.
So right, that's
really a great experience for both the people that attended, but also our vendors really enjoyed it. So these companies from all over the country, both big and small, were able to be there, and many of them are back this year. They really enjoyed the chance to showcase their products, and there were a lot of companies, as there are this year, and I'll go through some of those that you know, some are names you'd expect, and then others are places companies
sure.
You've never heard of from places that you maybe didn't think they were from. So.
Well, the vendors are probably very happy the more people that go.
Yeah.
It's more exposure
yes.
for them.
Yeah.
And
it's a bit of a twofold effort for them. So they, the companies that are chip and snack companies, come to showcase their product to attendees at the show. But we also have a national competition that's part of this. So we have a group of judges that will judge different, this year there are 12 different categories. So they get a win-win. They get to showcase their product to folks that attend. And then on top of that, they get the chance to earn some bragging rights as well. So,
Before we go on, yeah. I want to mention, we have another guest here, Alan Ricker. And he's the chip historian extraordinaire. He's been on our Skidmore radio show many times. And you're going to be the historian at the Chip Festival, and we'll get more with you and your expertise after. But you're going to be a big part of the display too.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Last year I had a 30 by 30 space, and this year and I was sort of in the back, and this year I'm right up front up of a 40 by 40 spot. A lot of people who came last year didn't even know I was there, but this year they're not going to be able to miss me. And I'll talk a little bit more later, but
sure.
It's great to be here, and it's great to work with the Lions Club. And the other thing is that my collection is so extensive that this is one of the few times a year where I can put it, I have enough space to put it all together. So it's a lot of fun for me, too.
That's exciting. Great. That's interesting.
Yeah, we're so excited to have Alan involved. Obviously you can taste chips and see some of the companies, but we really wanted to make sure that there was a tie to Saratoga's history, and certainly the collection that Alan has is, as he says, extensive.
Oh, it's extensive, and it's interesting, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, every time he's on the show, it's something different. And he's always finding out more information and has different stories. So it's kind of like a win-win for both Alan and yourself,
yes.
Group. So tell us, now you're going to tell us about the companies. And
yeah, let me go through. I'll mention a few, and then you know, each company has its own story. The ones that you might be familiar with that are larger companies, Wise Snack Foods, they're the presenting sponsor. This is the second year they've done that. Very gracious of them. They loved the event last year. They actually brought their food truck last year. It was they had a spin on the food truck concept with some of their flavors. So this year we're eagerly anticipating what they're going to bring to the table this year. Utz, which is another well-known company in this area, they attended last year and will be again this year. Hers is another one that most people are familiar with. So those are the bigger three that will be there. Ball Reach is a company out of Tiffin, Ohio. It's a family-owned company that attended last year and will be there again this year. They're a really interesting story, kind of a personal story. My wife is chomping at the bit to purchase a couple cases of their sweet potato chips. So I'll put a little plug in for them there. Then Saratoga Chips, folks from around here are familiar with that company. And then, you know, some companies you may not have heard of. We have a company coming that is a smaller company from the Capital Region called Jiffy Chips. They produce small batch chips. They're out of Castleton, New York. We also have a company out of the Hudson Valley called Bjorn Korn, named after one of the founders. They make an organic popcorn. We have a company called One Potato, Two Potato that's coming. They make small batches of kettle cooked chips.
Yeah, you can get their chips in Starbucks.
And Starbucks, yes.
Oh, you can.
Yes, you can see those in Starbucks.
Okay.
There's also a company that Alan can fill you in a little bit more on, but a company called Try Some. They're out of Leominster, Mass. It's their first time coming. It's fourth generation family-owned company. And I believe, Alan, they're the oldest commercial company still in existence, correct?
That's right.
That produces chips.
Really? So okay.
Excited to have them. And then we have some other snack-type companies that will be there. We have some salsa companies. We have a company out of Vermont called Drew's Organics that makes salsas and dressings, so we're excited to have them there. So it's kind of a neat blend of chip companies, snack companies, and then things that might go along with those. And I'll bring up one more that we just got confirmation today will be there, and it's a company called Billy Goat Chips, and they're out of St. Louis, Missouri.
Ooh.
So it should be interesting.
Billy Goat Chips.
Yeah, no, I won't take that too literally. supposedly very delicious. I haven't had any yet, but I will when they get there. And one of the other pieces that I want to make sure I don't forget to mention, because it is an important part of the event, we actually have the Big Idaho Potato Truck.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, so they came last year for our press conference. They weren't able to stay for the event itself. Which was later in the year, and we are really excited to have them back. So that's a 6-ton replica of an Idaho potato.
Now, there's a commercial where the owner of the field,
yes,
the potato, yeah, takes off. Was that taken off from Saratoga?
Yeah, I'm sure they're on their way right now. So I don't think that farmer will be here, but the tater team will be here. And that is, it's just one of those things that kind of brings a smile to your face. You never anticipate seeing a 12,000-pound potato.
Oh, my gosh. No, that's great advertising.
When they left here last year, it went on a barge down the Hudson River,
yes,
to New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Well, what I want to ask you about a company that whose chips I like when I can eat a potato chip. I'm not supposed to eat them, but, you know, when my wife turns her back. The Cape Cod potato chip company.
Yeah,
they're
It's a good question. We've asked them a few times. We haven't had success with them yet, but maybe next year. Maybe next year we can get them involved.
I hope so. Now, I don't know. I mean, we used to vacation in Cape Cod. A friend of ours used to own a house down there and let us have the house for a week, which was really nice. And we went through the plant, and I'm sure you can, all the plants take you through, but it's, you know, you're in the hallway and there's all glass on one side, and you see them raking the chips and the big oil kettles, and then you get a free bag at the end.
We're going to sign you up to recruit them for next year.
Yeah. I was down in Cape Cod like 2 weeks ago trying to recruit them, but their headquarters is actually, they're part of Snyder's Lance.
Oh, they must have.
And their headquarters is in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. So they must have merged, or somebody bought them out.
It was a company that started up, I think, in 1981.
Yeah.
And then a lot of these companies who were small, you know, their exit strategy is to be sold to a larger company.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
But it is fascinating, though, if Alan knows this as well, when you start to look at the number of companies that are out there that make chips and make pretzels and make popcorn, and it, It is a huge, huge business, and they're the big players that we've talked about, but there are a lot of small regional favorites and companies. It's really neat.
It's a huge industry.
Yep. And one of the things, too, is that there's a lot of small companies, like, for example, Sun Chips, which is actually owned by Frito-Lay, but they market as if they're a small little independent company.
Okay, yeah. Well, probably to keep that identity, that local identity or whatever, you know. 4,000 people go through. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the admission price?
We have a very affordable, family-friendly admission price. It's $5 for general admission, and then kids 12 and under get in for free. So we really want it to be a fun experience for people. Get in there, have a good time. We actually have some fun family-friendly activities. We have a balloon artist who's top-notch who's coming in. We have a stilt walker, juggler type person. So it's just a multi-layered event with history, food, family entertainment for $5. It's hard to top that.
Tell them who you can get your picture taken with, too.
Yeah, you can get your picture taken this year. We have a few of our Lions Club members are going to dress up as Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, so you'll get a chance to do that as
Make sure Don is one of them.
All right, fair enough.
Make him Mrs. Potato Head. It's a taste testing, right? I mean, you can go around and taste. So if somebody goes and pays their $5, that the opening is, 12 o'clock?
10 o'clock, 10 to 4.
They can stay the whole day and just eat potato chips?
Yeah, so it depends on the company. Some companies actually will do a sample bag, but it's usually one per person. Some companies will be sampling chips like in smaller cups, that type of thing. But yeah, theoretically, you could go around and sample them, and
so
then
if I put a mustache on, I can get another bag of chips.
Pay another admission price, maybe get another bag.
Now, one of the things probably that goes along with that, are you having a vendor, the Lions Club, selling water, bottled water?
We'll have bottled water there. We'll actually have T-shirts. That was in high demand last year, and we did not anticipate that. So we'll have T-shirts for sale. We actually have a caterer that will be there as well, serving other lunch food and those types of things. So
I was going to say, when you're eating potato chips or salsa, you get kind of
thirsty.
That'll be great.
The only thing we don't have is alcohol, so you're going to have to find that elsewhere downtown or
something
like
that. That's right. They have Hit Caroline Street. There you go. There's more bars per capita in Saratoga than there is anywhere. So now we've talked a little bit about the event, which we'll get back into, but we've forgot to give the date and the time.
Yeah, it's Saturday, July 15th from 10 to 4 at the Saratoga Springs City Center.
Now, that's a week from this coming Saturday, and the 15th, and the City Center is large enough to handle a lot of people. So,
great part about the City Center, if you paid attention, obviously the holiday weekend was really nice, but the weekend before, it's always dry in there. So
don't
worry about rain or too hot or too cold.
Well, I was telling Alan, before, I belonged to the Kiwanis Club, which we are mortal enemies of the Lions Club. No, just kidding. But our club does the coat check for the Beer Fest and the cider tasting the night before the Beer Fest. And we pray for snow. I mean, not rain, but snow. And this year, it rained and was warm, and nobody wore a coat. And I'll tell you, we were there talking for a long time because it runs from noon until 8 at night with two shifts. And so it's always dry in there.
Yes.
That's right. So we got the date and time. Now, tell some of the family activities that you're going to have. You said you had a person on stilts.
Yeah, we have a woman named Sparkles, the tall juggler. She's actually been involved with some events at the track and around town before, very talented. We have a gentleman who does balloon art balloon art for kids named Daryl Baldwin. Mm-hmm. Very, very sharp. Some of the creations we saw walking around last year were amazing.
Daryl's from my hometown, by
the
way.
Oh, you know Daryl, yeah.
I think he's from Mayfield.
Okay.
But I grew up in Gloversville, and he does a lot of stuff down there.
He's very creative.
Dresses up as a clown.
So we're excited to have him back. And then, as we mentioned, we'll have some games. We have some beanbag toss games and carnival type games. And also get your photo taken with Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head.
Or Alan. You know, the historian.
Yeah, you have to weigh that out, you know. And then I think, you know, certainly there's a wonderful photo op in front of that 6-ton potato outside, too. So
So that's interesting. You know, you two guys should do something like this up at the track. Have your museum set up there. And
I've done the track a couple of years. I've also been on the radio in the morning talking about my collection.
Right. But, you know, set up a little museum up there, and it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But so that's you got things for the kids and activities for, I mean, adults like jugglers and still.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the real big portions of the convention that we really haven't spoken a lot about is the judging. There's going to be a lot of celebrity judges and
judges in the different categories.
So we do some preliminary judging on the Friday before, but what the public can see on Saturday is kind of our final round of judging. We haven't released all the judges' names yet, but as an example, we have the chief judge is Dean Walsh. His name's Brendan Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dean from the Culinary Institute of America. And we also have the this year the world sandwich champion, and I want to make sure I pronounce her name right. It's Jennifer Daskovich, who will be here, along with some local chefs and restaurateurs. Our MC this year will be Bob Kovacic, who was involved last year as well.
Bob.
And we have Chef Yono confirmed, I believe, for
his wife is going to be there. But yep. Danny Meyer, who is one of the top restaurateurs in the country, he owns Union Square Hospitality.
Okay,
he's agreed to send up one of his top chefs from New York City.
Interesting.
So a wide range of culinary talent and expertise that judge. You know, we take it very seriously. We have a team that has works on the contest all year long to make sure it's very. The integrity is strong, and that it's, you know, these are big companies that use it for bragging rights all year long.
Oh, sure.
So.
Well, one thing, too, I mean, you're a member of the Lions Club, as we said, and you do some very large fundraisers mm-hmm. during the year with your, the triathlon?
It's a duathlon.
Yep. And the, do you still do the... I forget what they call it, the night at the casino.
Yeah, we do a few throughout the year. The big ones for us now, we used to do more of those types of nights, but the big ones for us now are what we call Night at the Bruseum.
Okay, night at
the... Yep, so that's a beer tasting event.
With the Military Museum.
Yep, with the Military Museum, and that was at Canfield Casino this year.
Right.
And then we also do the duathlon. That's a race that we hold on Memorial Day every year. And then certainly the Chip Festival has become kind of a third large one for us.
Sure.
We do some other golf tournaments and things like that. But
the thing that I'm impressed with, and this is just getting information from Don, is the way that you have your committees set up, because all these events are planned throughout the year.
Yes.
And people work on them all year long. And there's not too many organizations that have that, I don't know what you want to call it, ability to do that. And you guys do a very good job on a lot of projects.
Well, thank you. It's as you know, with events, they're not always easy to do. And we typically start planning them maybe a week or two after they end the mm-hmm. year prior.
Yeah.
We have 110 members in our club, mm-hmm. Which gives us, you know, it kind of spreads the wealth a little bit as far as the lift to do these events. But we think they're important. I mean, when you see, you know, I'll give you an example, a young child come in that you've helped maybe see for the first time or hear for the first time, it may, as you do with Kiwanis or any of the service clubs, it touches your heart and it makes all the hours worth it.
And that's why you want to stay in the club, because you help see, just our focus is on children. Mm-hmm. Kiwanis is on children, but as yours is too. I mean, you have a wider range, you know, with adults and hearing. Alan told me a couple other areas that the Lions Club's into now. It used to be sight and hearing, but now it's diabetes and what's the fourth
youth
one?
Is the fourth.
Youth, yeah.
Right, youth.
Yep.
And, I mean, we've always had Key Club. You're probably familiar with that in high schools. Now you have the Leo Clubs in schools. I've got a little lion statue. I was a guest speaker at the Lions Club when you met at Lillian's for all those years. And, I mean, the Lions Club has been around a long time, and they do some great things. I know one of the people that I work with, her son's handicapped, and the school that he goes to lost his glasses, and they don't make much money. I mean, And the Lions Club, where she lives, has a deal with Vision Center, I think it is, and you buy coupons, and they'll get an eye exam and glasses free.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what a wonderful opportunity for families that can't afford it.
It makes a big difference, you know.
Does. Yeah.
And my father was real active in the Lions, which is like why it's such a thrill to partner with them. And he was real involved in the Seeing Eye Dog program and also in the Helen Diller program, which they used to take blind children down to the Jersey Shore and teach them how to swim in the ocean. And so
that's
it was
amazing.
Very exciting to see their reactions.
Yeah. Well, I know Phil Klein pretty well, and I was on the board of the senior center, and he was always asking me if anybody wanted to give up their hearing aids because the Lions Club, they were going to get new hearing aids, you know, that they'd take the older ones because, of course, anything that you can redo. And that's just it's just great. The one thing about Saratoga, as other communities, I mean, our club is probably the smallest, you know, Rotary is large as yours is that the commitment of service to the area.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the proceeds of an event with like the Chip Festival as well as your other ones goes to boost your ability to be able to offer more help.
It stays in our community. It helps our community. And I think we, while every community has these types of service clubs and nonprofits, I think we're pretty blessed in this area that we have a lot of great nonprofits and great service clubs that all have their own little niche, but collectively help to make this a really special place.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why Saratoga became as popular as it did, and it was because of the work that the citizens did,
yeah.
civic groups. I mean, they put a lot of hard work into it, and you can see the results of Saratoga building, and it's through organizations like service clubs and yours. Let's get back to you had memorabilia display, Alan. You're gonna have 40 by 40, you said. Now, I know a lot of the displays that you have because of being on our show before, but why don't you tell us some of the a few of the things that you're going to have.
Don't ruin it
for everybody.
Okay, so. I started out when I bought a home on Saratoga Lake. I was trying to furnish the home with some artwork, and compared to Lake George, it was a lot more difficult to find. And I ended up being told to go see Michael Noonan, who used to be the protege of George Bolster, a famous collection, and what happened, photographs. And Michael had told me the story about how the potato chip was purportedly invented on Saratoga Lake, and it was very close to where I bought my home, so I got really into it. And then it sort of evolved. I would start calling up some people, and I didn't have that much, and I would tell them I was a historian, and they would sort of laugh. Now they're not laughing as much anymore. but what happened was I decided to sort of trace. What a lot of people don't know is that the very first generic name of the potato chip wasn't the potato chip, but it was the Saratoga chip.
Really?
And so from about 1850, when it was invented, till about 1925, it was called the Saratoga chip, but then it morphed into the potato chip. And I decided not only to focus on what happened here in Saratoga, but also to show how the name spread across the country and internationally. And a lot of my collection is sort of interesting. It's sort of like that child's game, I Spy. Mm-hmm. So I'll show you a picture of 1900, for example, of the Chicago Haymarket, and there's all these horse and wagons. And then when you zoom in through the magic of photography, you'll see a horse and the wagon will say Perfecto Saratoga Chips.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's another example, and there's lots of them, where you'll be looking at the cable cars in Salt Lake City. And then as you zoom in, you see that there's a horse and wagon in the distance, and it gets closer, and it says Saratoga Chips on it. And there's a picture of a general store in San Francisco in Chinatown. And then you zoom in, you see these boxes that say Saratoga Chips on them.
Well, I wonder now, what years were the these
Well, the chip was purportedly invented in 1853, but my thing goes back to the beginning.
Okay.
And it goes up till today. There's still a few companies that still use the name Saratoga in it. And then what happened is, as I got more and more, I started, you know, talking to people, and a lot of times it was children and grandchildren, and they would tell me all these stories. And so what I did was I met a gentleman. I had called the Snack Food Association, and I was asking them some information, and they were very kind, and they let me come down to their headquarters outside of Washington, D.C., and go through all their archives. But they also told me that there was a man that I should speak with whose father had founded the Snack Food Association, and he had recently lost both his wife and his daughter, and he was sort of in a funk, but he loved retelling these stories. So I called him up. His name was Don Noss, and we developed a very good telephone relationship, and then he invited me to come out. And he arranged trips every single day. We would go down, and we would see these old chippers, and they all had really interesting stories. So what had happened was there was sort of a gentleman's agreement that a lot of these people gave me a lot of this historic memorabilia that never was publicly displayed or anything, and they would give it to me with the understanding that I would perpetuate their family story. Mm-hmm. And so what happened initially, I give lectures for various groups on the history. I have like 300 slides in my thing, and in an hour I get through it most of the time. And then I decided to have a website. So then the website covered not just that, but all kinds of areas of the potato chips. There's a section that called Chipsipes, which is chips and dips recipes. There's building an industry, which focuses on the pioneers. There's a nostalgia thing. We have all kinds of old ads and everything else. And then I got into doing a blog. So I do a weekly blog, which I call My View of the World Through the Prism of the Potato Chip. So there's one that went up today, and it had to do with hot dogs and potato chips and ties into Nathan's potato chips, but the fact that they have that hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, they had that yesterday,
yeah, they got
right?
72 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
So the thing really has grown. And so some of the highlights in the last year or so was I got a call from the Smithsonian that was doing research, and so they called me as the expert, which was really exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got a call, and Greg was part of this. There was a company that started a potato chip company that's basically almost like breadcrumbs, but it's chip crumbs. And a company called Vice Media, which is a subsidiary of Disney, came up to the area, and they filmed a short documentary/commercial, and Greg was in it, and I was in a couple slots. So I've got to meet a lot of people. And then what happened was Don Noss, the person I was mentioning about, he was out in Cleveland, and I had gone out recently for his 90th birthday, and then he just passed last week.
Oh.
But on my last trip out there, he gave me his two probably prized items. One is the Hall of Fame trophy that his father had received from the Snack Food Association, and he also gave me his father's death set. He was the president from the very first president, 1938 to 1939. And he had worked with, he gave, he worked very closely with Herman Lay, and gave Herman Lay his business plan.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first person to put cheese on popcorn.
Oh, wow.
He was amazing. But what happened was when they were young, Don and his brothers were little kids, and they would drive around with their father on their time off, and they would look for steam coming out of smokestacks, on the basis that maybe these people would be chippers, which were potato chip manufacturers. So first he organized them all in Ohio. They had the Potato Chip Institute of Ohio. Then they were all pilots. So then they started forming different regional things across the country, and then actually in Europe and everything else. And then that morphed into what's now the Snack Food Association.
Now, there was a time where there was a little bit of well, maybe not controversy, but there were some people claiming that they invented the potato chip, other than here in Saratoga, correct?
Well, what I try to do is, when I give my presentation, the very first thing I do is I give everybody a pop quiz. And I ask them a bunch of questions. What are the answers? It's all multiple choice. And then when I'm done with everything, I give them the same pop quiz. And I always say it's sort of like the Marilyn Monroe murder or the Kennedy assassination. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of theories. Some of them are easily disproved. And nobody really knows for sure, because part of what Don had always said to me was his father had been an old newspaper man, and he always said sometimes a good story is better than the truth.
That's right.
And so most of these stories you hear, you know, come back to his father. But I can tell you the fact that, you know, the name Saratoga is what the chips were known as. They were regardless of exactly where they were invented, there's no question they were popularized here.
Right.
So, like, for example, I can tell you a blog that I wrote that, recently, and it was called A Request He Couldn't Refuse. And during the day when Saratoga had a lot of illegal casinos, one of the visitors was Al Capone. Oh, yeah. And there was a gentleman named Eugene Japp in Chicago. And Eugene supplied Al Capone with all of his nuts and candy for his speakeasies. And when Capone came here, he discovered the potato chip. And so he went back and he said, and Leonard Japp, because of World War II and the negative connotation during that period of time, changed his name of his company from Japp's to Jay's. And it was one of the few companies that never had to worry about a strike.
Okay.
And what happened was, when Capone came back, he called Leonard and he said, you know, you have to start producing these potato chips. This is this new thing I just learned about. So that's how he got into the business.
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny when you said Al Capone used to come here. Most of those casinos are run by the mafia. Our police chief wrote a book, and it tells about the mobsters that were here back in the 30s and 40s, and it probably was one of the reasons why, who was it, Kefauver closed them down.
Right.
But, I mean, there's some interesting tales about the people that were here and things that happened to them. I mean, it's that's a history in itself, but that's interesting how that these things happen.
So I'm taking like a slow during the summer, but I started writing my blog and in September, and I've written 150. We have only put out one a week, but you know, basically, I spend 3 or 4 hours a day interviewing family members of people who started potato chips. A lot of the companies are now defunct, and there's incredible, interesting anecdotes and stories that make it really fascinating. And you know, so you could really, it's a stream of consciousness, but you can relate the potato chip to almost anything that's happening in the world.
Well, you know, there's a magazine that I get, it's called Reminisce, and it's a magazine it's people that are interviewed today about when they grew up, and they grew up in the 20s and 30s, and their family that goes back. You could write a magazine, History of Chips, and every monthly magazine could have, or every other month, could have a good history and interviews and things like that in it. I think that'd be a great seller.
Well, even today, like, you know, the big news item in the next couple of days is that President Trump is going to meet Vladimir Putin.
Right.
And going back to John F. Kennedy, he actually used potato chips. He sent a lot of our companies over to Russia to teach the Russians how to manufacture potato chips.
Really?
And it goes back even before him, where Eisenhower actually was on the cover of a magazine opening up a bag of potato chips.
So John Kennedy did for the potato chips what Ronald Reagan did for jelly beans.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, see, you two are made for each other. I mean, you know, you're fantastic in this. You have so much information. You should really start a collection and put it in like George Bolster did with the pictures. I mean, this history should be...
Well, that's what I do with my presentation. Like, in other words, I have it all on a PowerPoint thing with all types of pictures, and I show it.
I know, but what you do, man, is I'm trying to help you out here. You write a book or you publish a magazine, so it's perpetuated down after you're not here. I mean, you know that, because there's so much information there. I'm sure that's what helped the Lions Club do this chip fest.
Yeah, it's been a huge help. And if we can somehow, Alan, we need to get you onto the Legend of the Club sandwich. Saratoga's got a prominent place at the lunch table of America between the potato chip and the club sandwich.
So. That's right. That's right. You can start a separate branch and sandwiches. That's right.
In Cambridge, nearby, the old hotel used to claim that they invented pie a la mode.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
right.
That's
We're
right.
Good.
Yeah.
We're good.
We invented everything.
That's right.
We invented
right.
horse racing.
I'm pretty sure Alan invented the internet, too. I'm not 100%
well, that's the spring interesting water. Thing. I always tell people, you know, when you think of Saratoga, you think of the racetrack, and you think of the water, but none of those were invented here.
That's right.
That's true.
Exactly. And but, you know, the potato chip, the club sandwich, you never know. Now, just one question before we get back to Greg. You have a brochure that you gave me and on one of your some of the information that it was thought that Vanderbilt was the or Whitney was the person who was at the restaurant that kept sending his...
Yeah, Moon's Lake House.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different theories. The one that's most popular was that a disgruntled customer went in and there was a chef named George Crumb Speck, and that he was a sort of an honorary guy, and not once but twice the customer explained that the French fries he ordered were too thick and not well done enough. So for spite, the chef took his razor out, made them paper thin, and deep fried them, thinking that the customer would dislike them, but he liked them. And a lot of times people have always said that the customer was Commodore Vanderbilt, but when you do the research, you find out that this was supposedly happened in 1853, and the Commodore didn't actually come to Saratoga until later. So there's a lot of mythology and a lot of
It makes
of
a good story, though.
Yeah. That's what you I know. Said. A lot of it comes back to, you know, a good story sometimes is better than the truth.
Sure. Well, that's, hey, what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
So, Greg, let's recap some of the event of the Chip Festival. It's Saturday, the 15th of July, which is a week from this coming Saturday. Today is July the 5th, if you're putting this up on a website or anything, it's the 5th of July that we're doing the interview, so it's a week from this coming Saturday. You're going to have family activities, so you really encourage young children to come, and as with their parents.
Sure, yes,
you don't want 6 or 7 year old kids coming in off the street.
Preferably not.
Right, right.
And 12 and under is free, so that's a great deal.
Oh, it is. I think, well, I mean, even if you have to pay to get in, it's not like, you know, $5 admission. That's pretty nice. And, I mean, it's a great, you can tell you're not in it to make a lot of money. You're in it to make money for your causes.
It's for the cause, and it also, as you know, Alan's role helps us out to celebrate the history and the connection to Saratoga.
Oh, yeah. Well, I say that Alan's part is a big boost, you know, for the event. I mean, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
It's not like you got a brewmeister there, you know, talking about how well his beer goes along with potato chips, but... And your big sponsor, again, is...
Yeah, the presenting sponsor is Wise.
Wise,
Snack Foods,
okay.
And they've, you know, just been very wonderful to us and a great partner on the event.
Now, you have other sponsors,
We do,
you?
Yeah,
you
we have... do. Utz is also a sponsor.
Okay.
Adirondack Trust is a sponsor for our event this year. Digital First Media. We also have HERS, Snack International, and Saratoga.com. Ball Reach is a sponsor, so Saratoga Convention Tourism Bureau is also a sponsor. So we have a good list of sponsors, great companies attending. We actually have the full list of all the companies that are going to be there on the website. If you don't mind, I'll give that out.
Oh, yeah, I want you to give that out and maybe a contact phone number.
Sure. Yeah, it's www.thechipfestival.com, and we have a Facebook link up there, email link up there. That's how we prefer people get in touch with us.
Sure.
And if anybody has any questions, certainly Facebook's easiest.
Yeah, and I know Alan is going to have a copy of the show, and he can probably give you a copy off of his, so you can put it up on the site.
Yeah, that'd
for
be
contact
great.
Information, you know, and it'll drive them to the website.
I've linked everything on my website, which is togachipguy.com.
Okay.
You can get my weekly blog on there. I'm also on Facebook.
Sure, yeah, you've got a great website, and I know the Lions Club has a website, so why don't you give the website out again?
Yeah, it's thechipfestival.com.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I mean, we do a Saturday show, as Alan said, and I'm going to have this information. And,
thank you so much.
We got the chipfestival.com.
I think there's also, we're not at liberty to say anything, but there's probably going to be some surprises that Greg can't disclose yet. But okay. I think there might be some exciting things that haven't been finalized yet.
Does it have anything to do with me showing up incognito and then you're going to...
I heard you're going to try to dress up as under 12 so you can get in front.
Yeah, I am. I'll walk on my knees. Although I'm short enough, I probably can pose as a... No, I'll announce it on the show Saturday for both websites, and it's a great thing that you guys are doing. And the Lions Club is a great organization, and I know... Alan is probably one of your. You ought to get Don Hall on top of him. He'll get him in.
He will.
But he's got a good history with his father on that. So, well, listen. Is there anything that you'd like to finish up with? Yeah, you can finish up with anything you'd like.
Well, I'm just delighted to partner with the Lions Club. As you said, I grew up. My father was a Lion. I went to the international conventions every year. I saw firsthand all the great work they do. And I have some friends who introduced me to the other members here in the Saratoga Springs Lions Club, and I can see they're all top-rate people, and I'm delighted to have the opportunity to partner with them. And I think it's a great family event. You can learn something at the same time while you're having fun. And, you know, basically, everybody's still talking about the one last year, so.
Oh, I know. And I just want to, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from this, but I know one thing about belonging to a service organization. You become like a family, and you enjoy each other's company, you work with each other, and have fun doing it. It's not a drudgery. We used to put on a joint service club chicken barbecue for the senior center, and we had Rotary, Lions Club, Sir Optimist, and Kiwanis there. And you get to know each other, and there's a bond. There is a bond there, and I think that's it's another great thing about a service organization and knowing members of other clubs. You are a family, and when you do these events, it's, like you said, Greg, it's a lot of work, but then again, you know, I mean, you're doing it for the betterment of people, and it makes everything worthwhile.
Yeah,
it is. Well, listen, we're going to get into it with you on another show. Have you do your show, and we'd like to get a report on how the festival did. I'll talk to you later about maybe being on a Saturday show. And you know, that's probably it for tonight. And you know, I want to thank both of you for being here.
Thank you very much.
It's been really really great to have you. So we're going to say this is it, the show for the Chip Festival on July 15th. And we're going to have Alan there with his the Toga Chip guy with his museum setup displays, his displays and things that you won't believe exist. So we'll see everybody next time, and have a great one.